Reflections of Yesterday, an Oral History of Custer County. This collection was compiled by the residents of the Wet Mountain Valley in conversations with Deborah Hood. The following conversation took place in January of 1981 with Mrs. Elizabeth Giroux, wife of Dona Giroux, who is now deceased.
Settled in Duncan's Park.
That who?
That your family, that your parents have settled in Duncan's Park.
Not Duncan's Park. Oh. Silver Park.
Silver Park, and where is that?
You know where Silver Park is.
No, I really don't.
Do you know where the McKenzie Ranch is?
Uh-huh.
That big, as you're coming up from, from down Forge or any.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where the McKenzie Ranch is. And then as you're coming up, you'll notice the first place that you pass, there's a gate. And you look up in there, and there are buildings there.
I've been there.
And that's where that's where I was raised.
That is a beautiful
That was
home.
My home.
Uh-huh. Oh, because it's a large log house.
A big log house and a big barn.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Now that's Silver Park.
I see. I didn't know what that area was called.
Oh, didn't you?
No,
oh.
I really didn't. Well, you know, not having been raised here,
uh-huh.
I sometimes don't know the name that some of the people who have been here for
mm-hmm.
a lot of years call things by.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about that area as a little girl that is different from the way it is today?
Well, I must... My folks... I don't know just exactly, but they homesteaded that, and it must have been somewhere around, I must have been about 4 years old when we moved there. I don't remember very much about
mm-hmm.
it. But anyway, so that must have been, I was born in 1894. So that must have been about 1898
mm-hmm.
when we moved to that, when my folks moved.
I see.
To that.
Where did they live before that?
Rockville.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But was your father a miner at that time?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah, he mined in, different mines around there, but mostly in the big mine in Rockville.
I see. What caused their move? What caused their move, do you know?
Well, they just wanted some land. He wanted to get away from the mine.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not farm. Mother and us kids took care of the ranch while he and my two oldest brothers stayed in Rockville. And he worked in the mine while the two older boys went to school. We didn't have any school in Silver Park at that time.
I didn't remember hearing.
There wasn't any school. I don't remember just when that school was first in progress, because it could have been, you know, before I even started to school,
uh-huh.
but I know it wasn't very much before that.
And where was the school when you...
Oh, do you know where that building is, where these people are living now? Their name is Camel.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they bought this schoolhouse.
I see.
And if you'll notice, as you go by, they're building and building and building more all the time.
Yeah.
Well, that was a Silver Park schoolhouse.
And has it always sat right there, or did you
uh-huh.
move it?
It was always there.
I see.
Just in the
center. So it would have been, what, maybe a mile and a half to 2 miles west of where your house was?
It was every bit of that.
Yeah, at least that, if
uh-huh.
not maybe 3 miles.
Mm, I don't need to see it. Probably 2 and a half, maybe 1.5, 2 miles. Anyway, I know it was a long walk for us.
I'll bet it was.
We always walked.
Oh, gosh. What do you remember about starting school? Can you remember that?
The only thing I remember, we had a teacher, I don't remember. His name was Johnson. And I was very timid, and he was very strict. You know how kids will do, take the book up to your mouth, and he stressed very strong that we were not supposed to chew on our books. I was not chewing on the book. But anyway, I had it up to my mouth, and he came up and he spanked me for it.
Oh dear.
And I was so afraid. I tell you, I didn't want to go back to school, but the folks made me go.
Oh,
anyway.
I don't blame you.
That's the first thing that I remember of my...
It's not a very nice memory.
No. It sure isn't. And that really, and then of course, I went through that school, up through the eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I went to school there, clear up through the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. About how many kids were there, do you remember?
I really don't know. I tell you, at that time, they were all grown men. And boys 18 and 19 years were going to school there. Because we only had 3 months school a year round.
Oh,
that time.
3 months
school.
Of course, the weather can be pretty bad down through the canyon.
Yeah, well, we just had summer school. But anyway, one thing I remember too later on, this same man, Johnson, it was the Roski boys, Steve Roski. You probably don't know those people.
I have not heard of
them. But anyway, he was a man, 18, maybe 19 years old, and he and this teacher got into a fight in front of all of us kids.
Oh, my.
So you can imagine what that did to us. The teacher was... They were both big. The teacher was a big man, and he just tore the sleeve off of Steve Roski's arm.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah,
that's
what
really
they used to speak.
Oh, dear.
Well, I wonder, the kids that were timid, we were frightened. I don't know how we ever learned anything because we were so frightened.
And you must have been still quite a young girl when this happened.
Yeah, I was only probably 6, maybe 7 years old.
Oh. And that really made a lasting impression on you, didn't it?
It sure did.
What an awful way to start your school year.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
What about your graduation from the 8th grade? Did you have a graduation,
yes,
per se? Was it nice?
I think there were 3 of us. 3 of us graduated. Yeah.
And have you gone all through school together, or have some people moved in and moved away?
Well, of course, after I got through the 8th grade, then I went on to high school.
Oh, you did? And where did you go to high school?
I went to Florence my freshman year.
Uh-huh.
I had to work my way through school. And when I went to Florence, of course, I lived in an apartment.
Oh.
And I didn't get started until school, of course, started in September, and I didn't get started until October because we had work at the ranch, and I couldn't leave until this was all done.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I know it was so hard for me because we just had that little bit of school. Well, we did have 6 months after school was, they had school for quite a while, and then for 6 months, but you know, 6 months isn't very much.
No, it's not.
But anyway, I know it was so difficult for me to go into a high school.
I'll bet it was. And you were dealing with city children for the first time, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
How did you get along?
Well, I got on pretty good until in the spring, that my freshman year, I had the measles.
Oh.
And I was out of school for 3 weeks. I was so sick, and I was out of school for 3 weeks. But I passed all of my algebra tests just with the skin of my teeth.
Oh.
But then next year, I didn't go back to Florence. I went to, they had advertisements where they wanted girls to come in and live, you know, and act as babysitters,
mm-hmm,
or do work for women.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to North Canyon my sophomore year, and I stayed with some people, the name of Burton. He was a Dodge dealer at that time.
Oh.
And they had a little girl, I never will forget, Chilita was her name.
Chilita.
They were people that came from Mexico, you know, they lived in Mexico, uh-huh, and they had this little girl, and they named her Chilita. And well, I went to school in North Canyon, and that year, And then my second year in high school, I had to find me another place to live because these Burtons moved away. They wanted me to go with them. They were going back east and they wanted me to go with them.
My goodness, but what a prospect.
Oh, I would have gone, but my parents wouldn't allow me to. But anyway, then in my second year, I found other people. Some people by the name of Grahams needed a girl to come in, but they had three little youngsters.
Boy, that was a handful, wasn't it?
They used to go out quite a bit, and I know there was times when I sat up until 11 or 12 o'clock. I couldn't go to sleep, you know, until they got home.
Mm-hmm.
But I did all my homework that way anyway.
I'll bet you had plenty of time to do it.
They were good little youngsters. They went to sleep.
Oh,
but anyway, you had to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So then my third year in high school, I went to, this was in North Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Then my third year, I went to South Canyon. See, they hadn't, the schools were not consolidated at that time.
Uh-huh.
There was North and South Canyon. And the two schools were antagonism.
Oh.
And anyway, I liked South Canyon the best because most of the kids in South Canyon were kids from out in the country.
So you had a lot more in common with them, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you something that has always intrigued me. I myself have moved quite a bit, but, you know, nowadays, a lot of people move, and it's not quite the same. You're the new kid in school for a while, and then people accept you.
Mm-hmm.
When you came from Silver Park, and you went to Florence and then to North Canyon, did you find that the kids who'd been raised in the city felt differently toward you than they would to someone who had moved from another city?
Quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
Was it hard to get involved?
Just a little hard.
Uh-huh.
But just a little hard.
Mm-hmm.
I felt out of place.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
I can well imagine that this would be the case. You probably hadn't been a whole lot of places before.
No.
High school, had you?
Not very many places. That's farthest away from home that I've been.
I can imagine. How did your folks feel about you going away to school?
Well, they wanted me to go, but the thing was, you know, they couldn't finance it, so
sure.
I had to work my way through school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they helped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got my clothing and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, there wasn't any sort of tuition that you had to pay for school. It was simply
what
you needed to live on and survive while you were going to school that you needed
to
work.
No, there wasn't any tuition.
I see.
That was one good thing about it, because I couldn't have gone, you know, because I know the folks couldn't afford to send me back.
It seems quite unusual to me, and I think it would to a great many people. We don't think about young people wanting to go to school bad enough that they would work their way through high school.
That's the reason.
We know about people working their way through college, indeed.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
high school, I think, we begin to take for granted.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason that so many of the children don't appreciate their school, because
this could
just,
well be.
You know, they didn't work for it. I mean, it was just easy for them.
Mm-hmm. But you worked for every scrap of education.
I worked for every bit that I had. I sure did.
And you were able to graduate then too, weren't you?
Oh yes.
That's mm-hmm. marvelous.
I graduated in 1917. That's been about 69 years ago.
Yes, it has
a
been.
Long And then Silver Park was my first school.
You taught?
Yeah, I taught at Silver Park.
For heaven's sake, I had no idea that you had taught.
Oh, yes, I taught school for a long time, even after I was married. But anyway, that was my first school.
I'll bet you had lots of ideas about how you wanted to conduct your classes after having been through Mr. Johnson, didn't you?
Well, I don't know. I never did have any trouble with any of my pupils. I taught in, I taught Silver Park, and then I taught Elsie. Then I taught the Willows 2 years. And then when, during World War II, I quit there for a while
mm-hmm.
when I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And then when World War II came along, why they were conscripting all of their old teachers.
Oh.
So
They were short on manpower then, weren't they?
Then I taught Greenleaf. Of course, there's no school there now.
Where was Greenleaf?
Do you know where the road turns off to upward Merrill's live?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my son lives there too, Jack.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the school was just above there.
Oh.
Up kind of on the hill.
Uh-huh. Would it have been on what is now Merrill's land, or was it?
It's some of Jack's land.
On the hill. Jack was down in.
Yeah, and then it's on up about, maybe an eighth of a mile is kind of built up
I
there.
See.
But it burned down.
It did.
There's no school.
You know, I was talking to Hattie Berry just yesterday, and she was telling me about Red Creek School burning down. Of course, that was up in the 50s when
uh-huh.
it burned.
Yeah.
But I think it's so ironic that so many of the old school buildings have been lost to fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you wouldn't just naturally assume that that's what would have happened to them.
Then, you see, I taught so many different schools, and then when they consolidated West Cliff and Silver Cliff,
mm-hmm.
I taught the fourth and fifth grade up there for just half of a term.
Just half?
I had to give it up because I had to take care of my mother, and my brother-in-law was dying with cancer. And I just had so much on my mind, and I got so I couldn't take it, and the doctor told me I'd have to quit.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I finished up until Mardi Gras, you know, that's,
yeah.
And so Helen Hibbs took my place, and she's been teaching ever since.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. When you taught at different schools, did you move, like when you taught at the Willows for 2 years? Did you have to move then from Silver Park up west, or?
I boarded.
Oh, you did?
I boarded out. I boarded with Mrs. Walker for 2 years.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
So you had just
they're gone. Mrs. Walker's gone. They died, both of the men. She was just like a second mother to me. I just loved her.
That's marvelous. I was talking to Hazel, and she was remembering having the school teachers board with them when she was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Did you teach Hazel in school?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how much difference there was in your ages.
Oh, I'm quite a bit older than Hazel.
Oh, I did.
Probably 8 or 9 years
mm-hmm.
older than Hazel. Hazel was going to school in Canyon at the time. She was going to the academy.
Oh, yes, I remember.
In Canyon,
uh-huh.
when I was teaching up there.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hazel and I used to have some big times.
I bet you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I haven't asked you before, what was your name before you married?
Katnig.
Katnig. Now,
you know John, don't you, my brother?
I didn't realize that you were brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, were you the oldest in your family?
Oh, no.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. I had Tom, Frank, and Tony, and Tom, and Mary. I was found fourth. I'm a twin.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
For heaven's sake.
I'm a twin. My brother and my, I were that down fourth.
Uh-huh.
To the, my oldest had
uh-huh.
four older. I still have. So there were six boys and three of us girls.
You had a large family.
In the family.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have three brothers left and just one sister.
Well, tell me how you met your husband. Your husband's name was Donor.
Well, they lived over in the Willow District.
Oh, they did?
Do you know where Cooks live?
Yes.
Well, that was...
Which Cook?
Charles.
Oh, yes.
You see, they bought that place where his folks live.
I see.
And we...
Now, had his folks homesteaded that?
No, I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh. Because they lived here, his folks lived at the cheese factory, what they call a cheese factory first. And then they lived down here, as you go down that house, where Raymond Cook owns
mm-hmm.
now. They lived there last, I think.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know. I think they bought it. But anyway, Donna's oldest sister and I were quite chummy. And I used to go down there and stay quite
a
while.
That's how you got to know Donna. And how many children did you and Donna have?
Four. A boy and three girls.
Boy, Jack really felt put upon, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, you should know my children, Phyllis, Cass and Dick, is my youngest daughter.
I didn't realize how
she's my baby.
Oh.
And then, of course, Lois, my oldest girl's postmaster.
Mrs. Krill.
Uh-huh. She's my oldest daughter. And the next the oldest daughter is Maxine. They live in Montana.
Our conversation then turned to weather in the Wet Mountain Valley, and Mrs. Giroux remembered some snowstorms that she'd been through.
I remember one year when we was working at Kettles, and we had a snow. Actually, we couldn't find a car. That snow was so deep. Oh, that was a...
Of course, the cars used to be shorter, too, but still, it must have been big snow.
I never forget that snow. I tell you, I had a lot of shoveling.
Well, now, let's see. Did you work for Charlie?
Yes. We were out at the Kettle Ranch for 9 years.
Oh, a long time.
Dona was a foreman there.
I see. Mm-hmm.
We spent the best part of our years out there for nothing.
That's hard, isn't it?
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, it really is. Well, indeed, that was at a time when there was not a whole lot of money to be had.
That's right. That was during the Depression. We were lucky we had a home.
Now, did you teach during that time?
No.
Uh-huh. Well, you were probably busy raising your
family. I was cooking for about seven or eight men.
Oh, my word.
Because, you know, at that time they didn't have machinery. It was all horses.
Well, of course.
And we had men from Kansas and, you know, different places that were there all the time. They could have breakfast, dinner, and supper for weeks.
Yeah.
And we didn't have running water and electricity like we have now.
Did you have a pump in the house, or did you have to go out to the well and pump your water?
Get the water.
Oh, my.
From the well. We had to heat it on the stove.
Mm-hmm. Made you think twice about using too much water, didn't it? During the Depression, were there a lot of transient people through the valley who came looking for work?
Quite a lot.
Were there?
We used to, when we used the Kettles there, nearly every day somebody would come by and want to know if they had everything.
Were they mostly strangers, or were they people
mostly
from the valley?
Mostly strangers, mm-hmm. From outside.
Because I've understood that, basically, I mean in general, the valley was better off than a lot of the surrounding areas during the Depression, because the small farms and ranches, mm-hmm. You had a vegetable garden, you mm-hmm. had a deer and pig you could kill,
time,
or whatever.
Times were better. I mean, people could make their own living. The crops were better than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's pitiful, you know.
It really is.
You just know whether you're going to raise a crop or not mm-hmm. anymore. But in those days, of course, we had mountains of snow and good moisture. You couldn't hardly go through this valley. You couldn't possibly go through it with a car if there were cars at that time. Because it was all so wet and swampy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it come to be called the Wet Mountain Valley.
Well, I expect so.
But it's got a different name for it now.
Used to be Wet Mountain Valley.
Yeah,
huh?
It sure did. Mm-hmm.
The change that I've been able to learn about over the years through talking to people mm-hmm. on this project has just been remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
The change and deterioration in the climate.
Well, mm-hmm.
Gradually, our talk returned to Mrs. Giroux's time as a schoolteacher and her memories of those days.
You're telling me that during World War II, the teachers being recalled
mm-hmm.
to teach. Now, who was doing the calling up of the teachers?
The county superintendent.
Mm-hmm. And this was before consolidation, too, wasn't it?
Yes.
When were the schools consolidated?
You know, I can't remember.
I think it was in the early 50s. I cannot name the year right now.
Were you
on your own place by that time?
We were living over here, you know, where the cemetery is, the Ulay Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
We were living in what they call the Verhoff place. That was our place. We bought that.
Oh, I see.
And we were living there at that time.
Now, who lives there now that I might know? Is that where the
Rocks live? Donnie Camper, Bud Camper.
Oh, okay.
Bud Camper. Bud
yeah.
Betty.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't quite place exactly where it would have been.
See, we bought that. And then we sold it and we went to Canyon. And we lived in Canyon for several years.
And what did Donna do in Canyon? What sort of work did he do there?
I tell you what he did most of the time. He was chasing back and forth from Canyon over to Hack Jack work. he hated Canyon. He didn't want to live. We got a little 10-acre plot down there. And he just couldn't be bothered with that pittering little bit of... He had machinery, you know. He did custom work with his machinery.
Oh, like...
He had a lot of machinery.
Uh-huh.
But it was too... that didn't satisfy him. So then he decided to sell, and I didn't want to because I love Canyon. But anyway, he went out and...
Oh, God.
Oh, it came up here.
Another big upheaval for
But I'm not sorry. I like it up here now. Mm-hmm. I was awfully disappointed when I came back.
I don't blame you.
There were so many more advantages in town.
Oh, yeah.
I had never lived in town before, and when we moved over here, I could just imagine everybody was watching every move I made.
I can well imagine that, having been through the same circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you look out your window and there's someone looking back.
Yeah. I'm used to it now and I like it. I have
such
lovely neighbors. I'm just so fortunate.
Well, and it's important, don't you think, that you do have neighbors
yeah.
and
yeah.
you get some help and you need
it. My whole neighborhood, well, we're all widows.
Well, I guess you are now.
It's just Blanche and Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
They're widows. We're all widows around here.
That's right.
And we all kind of look after each other.
That's very important.
Sure
that's something that could never happen if you still lived in the country, could
that's
it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I love the country.
Mm, that's marvelous. did your husband go to the service in World War II? Or was he past the age they called up?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't of age that time.
I see. Did Jack go?
Jack was there.
How did you feel being the mother of a serviceman?
It's kind of bad. The only boy I had.
Yes. That would have made it doubly hard. How long was he in the service?
I think he was in there about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Where did he station overseas?
He was up to... Well, they're having so much trouble right now. Yeah, but the war was over, but they were cleaning up. They were mopping up
mm-hmm.
when he was there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And bad.
I can imagine. Would he be able to come home on leave at any time during the time that he was coming?
He came home just once.
Just once.
After he finished his boot camp,
mm-hmm.
he came home, and then he went overseas,
oh,
and then he didn't get home until everything was all settled.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where he was.
Mm-hmm. Was he in the Middle East?
Oh, was having all that trouble just here lately. I mean, this last World War, it was close to that. And Vietnam?
Yeah, Korea.
Korea.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Korea.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
I would think that may have been more frightening for you than had he been sent to Europe.
Well, because I thought the war is over, there's no danger, but I didn't
sure.
realize until after he come home and how much danger he was. He said there were so many snipers. He said you weren't safe anywhere. He said in war, he says you're safe because you know where to go and what to do.
Sure.
But here he said you'd be sleeping and some of these people, he called them the gooks. They named them the gooks.
Mm-hmm.
And he says they'd come and crawl underneath your tent and they'd get you
mm-hmm.
that way if they could.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was worse than really worse, of course, I didn't know that.
I bet you were thankful you saw him, you didn't.
I would just be worried sick needlessly, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't help it.
Yeah.
No.
Of course. How did Donnie react? How did Donnie
I wasn't even his family went to the service.
Well,
I mean, Jack. Oh, when Jack went, well, what did he do?
Could
have deferred him, but he wouldn't. Jack wouldn't stand for it. He could have deferred him because he was the only one that helped on the ranch. But that's one of those things. He didn't want to be a flapper.
That is so different from today.
This dog for some of these boys are asking, they don't seem to have any loss of a comfort. No, whatever.
I think the sense of responsibility is different today. It's more of a prisoner than a community sense of responsibility. I don't really know why. But I have been able to see the change a little bit.
I have two grandsons in Vietnam. Dennis Crow and Jim Mitchell. And Jim was just about ready to finish a college course. He just had, I think, about 5 more weeks to finish his college course, and they wouldn't let him finish. But they both made it.
I would like to learn more about your parents, if I could ask you a few questions about them.
I don't know too much about them. I don't know why people, after you get older, you realize what you have done. My parents came from Austria. All of my brothers and sisters, except my youngest sister and my youngest brother, were born in Rockville.
My twin brother and I. My father was called back to Austria to settle some kind of an estate or something. So while they were out there, Martin and I were born out there.
Oh,
and when I came, of course I don't remember any of this because I was only 2 years old when we came back to Rockville. But anyway, you know, the funny part of this is, when my brother Martin went into the service during World War I, when they have to designate where they were born, so he said he was born in Rockville.
Because of the severe feelings against foreigners at that time?
No, in the visa, my dad has all of the births down. And all of them where they were born, the minute and everything. And he has mine and Martin's name down, but not where we were born. Because, you see, we were born up there, and he was a citizen of the United States. I don't know what his idea was, but he didn't say where we were born. So I don't know where I was born. I was born in Austria somewhere.
For heaven's sake. You don't have a birth certificate issued by the local official or anything?
I wrote back to Washington and a couple of years ago, but they took census here, and that was the only way I could see where I, you know, kind of halfway where I was born. Well, I don't know. How could you prove where you were born if you don't know?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, your mother can't vouch for it.
No.
I really don't know. I would.
But I do have a thing that came from Washington. And they said the census that was taken in 1910, those papers were all destroyed. So then they had another census there that was taken in 1920. And they had me down then, you know, and my parents and all. But they made a mistake in my birth. They had me down in January instead of October. And that's my sister's, my oldest sister's birth. And see, whoever was taking the census made that mistake.
I see.
But anyway, I was still born on that 5th of October. I wasn't born in January.
Oh, gosh. a lot of official records of births were not kept.
That's right.
When nowadays, a baby is issued a birth certificate practically before they leave the hospital. At least all the information is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Dick was in Austria, he was there for a year, you know, studying music.
Mrs. Giroux refers here to her grandson, Dick Cassandick.
Well, he wrote to me and wanted to know some particulars. He was going to investigate, find out where I was born, but he couldn't find anything. Oh, but it said all those records were destroyed.
In the war?
Uh-huh.
In one of them?
All those records were destroyed, so.
That's
so tell people I was born in Colorado, don't make any difference.
Well, I would think, though, that personally, it might be kind of special to have been born in Austria.
But you know, it was a funny thing. Now, my twin brother was supposed to be born in Rochville, and I was born in Austria, and we're twins. Of course, in this day and age, that could happen. it sure couldn't.
It was a little hard in 1894,
oh,
wasn't
it? I mean, laugh about that.
Oh,
you know,
I can imagine.
The funny part of it, I never forget. We took a trip up into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of us, and you know, when you cross the border, there they ask you these things. And like, silly, I told them I was born in Austria. You know, they weren't going to let us go through. They was going to keep me until they proved. Of course, I could prove that I taught here and I voted here and all of this for all these years, but still.
But you could not prove that you were an American citizen.
That's
right. Oh, my goodness.
We finally got through. I don't know how it happened, but anyway. Big company getting all of us holed up there for maybe weeks.
And it's really ironic because had you fibbed and said you were born in Colorado, there would have been no question.
That's right.
No, that's too bad. I think officials are like that. They look for things to do, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, God. Can you think of anything concerning either your life with Donna or your life before you were married that would be important for people to know about, that I don't know to ask you?
Well, there wasn't really much of anything else, you know. I taught all these years.
Uh-huh.
I kind of shifted around from one school to another.
Something I wanted to ask you about teaching. You had, for the most part, eight classes. I know that there were not always
mm-hmm.
children in each
yeah.
year of class. How did you set up your day of teaching? How did you set up your day of teaching?
It was pretty difficult.
I can imagine.
It was pretty difficult. You could get such a little bit of time to each class,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'd a lot of times, I even taught the ninth grade. There was a girl at the Willows. She couldn't go to high school, so she wanted to know if I would give her ninth grade work, and I said, yes, I'd give her ninth grade work. So she studied, and then after the rest of the kids went home, I helped her.
Oh, I see.
So I was really teaching, you know, from the beginners,
sure,
even through the ninth grade.
Was the day really exhausting for you?
No.
Wasn't it?
No. I loved school.
Mm-hmm. That's marvelous. You said you never really had any discipline problems.
I never did. The only time that I can remember that I took one of the little girls and shook her.
Oh,
that's as bad as I ever did in all my teaching.
You didn't have any trouble with the big boys or anything?
No. No, I never did have trouble. I was always one of them. And at recess, noon when we had time, I was out with them playing,
mm-hmm.
and I was just one with them. And then they knew that when business was there, when I was in school, my rules were my rules. And
mm-hmm.
I never had any trouble with my youngsters.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Did you know teachers who did have discipline problems?
I was a teacher that taught before I did. And they had a little, that little clothes closet there. And the kids took her and shoved her in that clothes closet, and her dress was sticking out, and they cut her dress up. They were telling me about it.
Oh my, did this worry you when
they
told you about it?
Uh-uh. she didn't have much discipline. I think you have to, when you start, you have to let the children know what you expect of them.
Mm-hmm.
And not really be bossy, you know, but kids weren't at that time like they are now. The kids were all good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the parents.
The parents thought to it.
The parents taught their children to respect the teacher. But nowadays they don't.
Sometimes it is a little bit different having taught, I know this.
Yeah, it's I'd hate to have to just go around.
Something I meant to ask you before. After, of course, the many years teaching grades 1 through 8 and possibly 1 through 9, you said after they consolidated West Cliff and Silver Cliff, then you had just grades 4 and 5?
Just 4 and 5.
What did you do with your day when you just had 2 grades?
I had 32 pupils.
Oh, my word. It made up for it, didn't it?
Yeah. I just had all I could do.
Oh, yeah. Did you find that a difficult age group to teach after dealing with so many?
No, not really. I don't think they're a difficult grade. Fourth and fifth graders are not.
They're kind of fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm.
They're still little, but they're old enough to do things with.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Where was it that you taught when you just had the 2 grades?
At Silver Cliff.
Oh, in the old school at Silver Cliff.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they had, they had 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th up there.
Uh-huh.
And then the little classes were over here.
You know, that was kindergarten through 3rd?
Yeah,
through
3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why was it split up in that way? I could see like 1 through 6 down here or up there, but not 1 through 3 down here in 4th
grade.
Well,
the school up there was so much bigger, and they needed more room, I think.
They just had more older kids than
they had.
Yeah,
they had the elder, from the 4th grade on through the 8th.
Mm-hmm. I see. It had nothing to do then with the Silver Cliff West Cliff rivalry?
No, no. You see, they had a man as superintendent up there.
Now, where did you live when you taught in Silver Cliff?
Over on that, what do you call it, by the cemetery there.
Oh, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you
yes,
call that the beer house.
I've been driving back and forth.
I see. How was that in bad weather?
It wasn't bad.
Uh-huh. Of course, it was, what, 2 miles, maybe 3?
Well, I just stopped up until January.
Oh,
see,
so
because
you
know? I had been my school up.
Yeah. Now, was that the last time you taught?
That's the last time I taught.
Mm-hmm. Well, you really had a very full career.
Yeah, I sure did.
Four beautiful kids in the meantime.
Oh.
I was going to ask you if you taught while you lived in Canyon.
Huh?
Did you teach while you lived in Canyon?
No. No.
Did you have any desire to teach in one of the larger schools down there?
No, not really.
It would have been some different, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure it would have been.
Oh, God. Well, I think I've about asked you all the questions I had in my mind to ask you. And I really appreciate your time.
Well, I enjoyed it.
This concludes the conversation. I would like to thank Mrs. Giroux again for the afternoon that she spent with me and for her candor in the comments she made.